Welcome to the Nature Connection Show.
You're listening
Health Radio.
To the Nature Connection Show.
And I'm delighted to be welcoming
Radio
back to the Nature
with
Connection
Sarah
Show.
Turner
Stephan
of Essentially
Hall,
Flowers Training
and
Moonflower Essences.
And also author of
Your
the
Weekly Connection, direct
so
to the heart
back
of nature.
To Nature Connection, Stephan. Yes, well, I know we spoke earlier on in 2014 and had a great chat in general about the batch flower remedies, and at the time we kind of seeded together it would be lovely to invite you back onto the show and to talk specifically about using flower remedies for men.
Yeah.
And
indeed.
Yes, so kind of forgotten in many ways.
Yeah, so. it is one of the invisible areas, I think, because certainly something we see ourselves on courses and among practitioners is that the vast majority are female. The men are few and far between. So I think when we think about flower remedies for men, it is often a bit of a hidden area.
It is, isn't it? It is interesting because certainly every course that I've been in, there's usually a couple of token men in there somewhere. Yet yeah. What is really, really interesting, and I guess we're going to touch on this as we talk about it, is that many of the very well-known producers of flower essences, including Dr. Batch himself, obviously, are men.
Yeah, I think that's right. In fact, I think if you look at for want of a better word, the top, I don't really like that word, but you know what I mean, the people who are most visible in the profession, I think, is probably about 50-50.
Yeah.
When you go, down to sort of practitioner level, it's all the vast majority female. And I think when you look at people actually using and buying, essences, remedies, I think you're looking at almost exclusively women, which is very interesting. I think it says something about the way that men in general, who are perhaps not aware of Dr. Batch's work or other people's work or the remedies at all, they don't go looking for flower essences, flower remedies.
Mm.
And I think that's almost a cultural thing. And I think a part of the problem is, in fact, the word flower in there. Which kind of sends a message that to some men that this is something that's more feminine and more suitable for women than it is for men.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure you see, like, when you see men buying flowers for someone else, they've got this wonderful way of kind of carrying the flowers, where it's almost like, this is nothing to do with me. It's like it's slightly almost at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing when you look at flower remedies. I think there's kind of almost a cultural expectation there that because there's the word flower in the product, it's in some way it's aimed at women.
Mm.
And then, of course, when people learn what they're about, which is about balancing emotions, that too, I think, especially for perhaps people of an older generation, it sends a signal that this is something that is more a female concern than a male concern. All of this completely wrong, of course, but I think there's that cultural kind of expectation going on.
Mm. Now, clearly this is something you're quite passionate about, as you wrote a book about it, and we'll tell everybody more about your book towards the end of the interview. But what ignited your passion to actually write a book about it?
Well, I think it was exactly that. It was just the fact that when I first became involved in flower remedies and became interested in Dr. Batch's work, everyone I knew who was using remedies was female. And I found myself, when I was writing that book, and I wrote a book before that, and when I was writing the book before that as well, when people said, what are you working on? I found myself with a kind of a slight hesitation in saying I'm writing about flower remedies, because it sounded weird to me. And I thought, well, if it sounds weird to me and I'm actually using them and working with them, what does it sound like to people who don't have that kind of original interest? So the idea of the book really was to try and introduce the system to what in effect was a bit of an undeveloped area, to men who wouldn't buy a book on flower remedies, but might perhaps be interested in a book that was specifically aimed at men. So although in many ways, you know, you can say that the basic principles of the thing are exactly the same for men and women and children and animals and everyone. I mean, it's, you know, you're selecting for emotions and so on. There is a kind of sense in which men are undeveloped in the terms of their interest in the system and what it can offer. So if you created a book specifically for them, you might be able to pull them in and get them interested. Because if they think, well, this is relevant to me, and you're talking, you know, like the book talks about things like sports and sex problems and retirement and career and all these kind of things, which are traditionally in our culture tend to be male, you know, dominated areas, or there's an expectation that they are going to be male dominated areas. And so if you can address those things very specifically, you can maybe get people to be more interested than if you simply talk about, you know, balancing your emotions and dealing with your relationships and that kind of thing. And the other thing that occurred to me, because I mean, at the time, I was occasionally kind of called in to sort of meetings with people who were involved in marketing flower remedies. And every time that they would talk about who they were trying to address with their advertising or their marketing and so on, it was always basically aimed at women. And I felt quite resentful about that. I thought, well, you're not talking to me. You're not talking to me and my mates down Fulham Football Club and all the rest of it. You're not talking to those people. And there's a kind of a self-perpetuating thing here where if you always aim your messages at women, then it should be no surprise that the people who will listen to it will ultimately be women. So someone, some point, has to take a step outside and address the other half of the population. And so I kind of rather ambitiously took that upon myself.
Yeah, and I really get that and feel pretty passionate myself at trying to alter the balance and shifting, because men, yourselves, you know, I know from my own personal life and from the men in my family and in my network, life is tough, just as it is for women nowadays, and it can be so supportive to have something that can really help you, to take you through those times. So I'd love to know, though, what your take is on, do men feel differently from women?
Do men feel differently from
women? Yes.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do at all. I think there's quite a lot of research that shows that actually emotions are the same. I mean, and actually it's what we'd expect. I mean, when we think about using remedies with dogs and cats, we often start with the assumption that actually, you know, higher mammals are feeling pretty much the same feelings that humans are. So it shouldn't be a huge leap to say that men and women who are, you know, the same species, and then there's very small differences. Mm. Yes, the emotions I think are exactly the same. I mean, when you go through a list of remedies and look at the indications of the remedies, you can come up with male and female examples of absolutely every single one. Mm. So I think the emotions are the same. I think what differs is that there are cultural expectations, some biological constraints, I think, you know, just in terms of, you know, we know that, you know, male babies in the womb are flooded with more testosterone on average than women are. So there are differences, you know, that are physical at some level. But also there's a huge cultural expectation about how men and women should behave and how they should interact. And we see it with everything, you know, from the kind of toys that are bought for very young children. You see it in the kind of sports that are done at schools for boys and girls. They tend to be different. You see it in the, you know, even in things like, there's a perennial debate, isn't there, about getting more girls to study physics and getting more boys to study cookery. Yeah. Because, you know, these are both important activities, and yet there is a huge reluctance among some girls to get involved in what they perceive to be male dominated activities. And in the same way among boys, there's a reluctance to become involved in what they perceive to be female dominated activities. I mean, when my daughters were much younger, they went to ballet classes, and you would walk in the ballet class, and there were literally one or two boys had joined the dance classes, and they'd be surrounded by 30 or 40 girls.
Brave souls,
and I don't believe that's anything to do with males not liking to dance, because if you look at dancing on a more professional level, it's an equal number. Yeah. There are loads of boys who enjoy dancing. If you go down to a club on a Saturday night, there are loads of boys who enjoy dancing, but there's a cultural expectation that you won't get involved in something which is seen as being feminine. And as I say, one of the things that our culture portrays as being feminine is the overt sharing and expression of emotion. So when you have when we think about, are the emotions different? No, I don't think they are. But what is certainly different is the degree to which society and the culture believes that emotion should be expressed. And there's still a stigma among many men. Not perhaps among as many as they used to be. I think this is changing over time. Yes. Younger generations are coming through, and it is changing. But certainly, if you go to kind of men who are kind of 40 or older, maybe there are a large number of men who still think that expressing emotions, admitting to feeling emotions, is somehow unmanly. So that when you look at that in terms of flower remedies, the big difficulty is actually finding out what the person feels, but you can start really with the assumption they certainly feel something. I don't think there's any question about that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Very, very interesting. And so obviously, being male, having been very passionate about sharing this and empowering men to help themselves in their lives with all the challenges that we all have, what ways have you found through all of this to actually bring men in?
Well, I wish I could claim that I'd been more successful, because the truth is I'm not sure how successful the book has been in those terms, because my impression is that the vast majority of copies of the book are bought by women who are buying them either for men or so they can try and find remedies for a man. Mm. But there's not that many still. Who you know, men themselves, I think, who buy the book, and we still see on courses, even after all these years. I mean, that book was published, in sort of 18 years ago now, but even after all that time, we still see on courses that most of the people coming on the courses are female. So I think we're in for a long haul and a long grind. I think what I think will make a difference is when actual remedy makers, remedy producers begin to address men more than they do now. I think that will make a difference. And one of the things they might have to do is actually think about how they market products to people. And they might have to be a bit brave and come up with ways of presenting remedies which are going to appeal more to men as they are. I mean, one of my big things with the remedies is you don't just say to people, this is the way it should be, and we expect you all to come over here the way it should be. I think one of the important things you do with, as a practitioner with remedies, is that you go to where people are and you start with where they are. So because there are still a lot of men who don't want to admit to having emotions, I think you need to find a way to talk about the remedies that is probably more geared to where they are now. And I kind of joke about it by saying that, if we had kind of a batch performance system as opposed to batch flower remedies on a shelf, that might have an effect. But I actually do believe that's true. I think it would have an effect. I think if we looked at how remedies can help sports people, for example, if you were able to show people who are trying to focus on their tennis or on their football or whatever it might be, that actually being balanced emotionally is a huge help to a sports person, because it allows you to deal with stress, it allows you to actually perform at a higher level. If you talk in those terms, I think even men who would not be interested in talking about their fears will be interested in talking about how they deal with stress and how they perform better. And if you can, a lot of it is about presenting it on that level. I think that's going to be the breakthrough, the way to actually get past a kind of a tipping point.
So if there are any, as I'm sure there are, I know many people who listen to the show are practitioners themselves in this modality. So it's a bit of an opportunity for people to take this and run, I think.
I actually
isn't it?
Think there is. I really think that's true. And I think, you know, obviously for practitioners, you know, working practitioners, one of the big challenges is finding clients. You know, it always is for all kinds of practitioners. And I think there is an opportunity. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, if you took your kind of 2-hour talk on flower essences, and you made it a 2-hour talk on how to play tennis better, in the context of dealing with the stresses. I mean, you know, because you know what it's like. I mean, when you're playing a sport or a game or whatever, any activity, and you know, you're having to deal with disappointment all the time. You're having to deal with frustration. You're having to deal with your own emotions. You're having to deal with perhaps being overly critical of yourself, concentrate too much on it. All of these are emotions for which we have solutions. So if one can present the systems of flower essences as a way through to something that people want to achieve, I think people then will maybe look past the fact that it's emotions and flowers and actually go towards where they want to get, and that I think will be the thing that gets people actually interested and more actively involved in the system. So yeah, I think you're right. There is a huge opportunity there for not just companies who make remedies and want to market them, but also for individual practitioners to maybe find new ways to actually engage new people they're not perhaps currently talking to with the way they normally present the remedies. And I mean, one of the things, I mean, I spent a lot, far too much time on the internet, and I've seen an awful lot of websites over the years to do with flower remedies, flower essences, and so on. And a lot of them are basically aimed at women, or that's how a male will perceive it.
Yeah.
And so they're quite forbidding for a male. And I think there's an opportunity there. I'm not suggesting we should have like a little button at the top, you know, are you male or female, and you go to a completely different site. But certainly there can be some thought to how do you make this relevant to men and not just to women. I think that's a way in.
Absolutely. And I have actually noticed this year particularly that maybe, just maybe, things are starting to change on their own, as you alluded to yourself. In the diploma that I run, we have peer consultations. And this year, there have been more men coming forward to experience the consultations than females.
That's really interesting and very, very positive. I mean, I wish I had a similar success story to share with you, but I think that's terrific. And I think that is a sign that things are perhaps beginning to shift. And I think too, I mean, what you said earlier, which is true, is that, you know, if you look at the most sort of visible personalities in the flower essence world, there are a fair number of men there. I think that too is a sign of hope, because it shows that, you know, there are role models there, if you like, for men within the flower essence world. And I think that's important too. And you've mentioned, you know, Edward Batch, but there are many others we could name. I mean, there, there's Julian Barnard at the Healing Herbs. You know, a man, the remedy maker here at the centre is a man. I'm a man, and so there are kind of people there who are actively talking about it and are actively involved in it. And I think that's again gives hope for the future, I think.
And maybe it's also just about embracing that you are, however the male is involved, there is an involvement. And maybe, and again, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody by saying this, but males may be more inclined to, you know, look at the structure and how things work, whereas females may be more inclined on taking care, you know, being the practitioner. So we can come at it from all levels, can't we?
I think that's right. And I don't find that, I mean, I'm not offended by that at all. I think there are some biological, you know, tendencies. I think the important thing is always to talk about tendencies, because there's no absolute. I mean, there are women who are wonderful at structure, and there are men who are wonderful practitioners. So it's not at all, an either or exclusive thing. We're not suggesting that, you know, all the men should be involved in drawing rules up and all the women should be involved in helping. Not at all. But I think you're right. I think it's about finding where each individual person is best able to create something and make an impact and improve things. And if it turns out that as you suggest, on average, men tend to be more interested in structure, well, then there's lots of opportunity to be involved on that level.
Yes.
And as long as it's, as long as it's, you know, 100% open on to both sexes at every stage to be involved in anything, I don't see that as discriminatory at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's just recognizing that there are differences, whether they're biologically determined or culturally determined, they still exist. And obviously the long term aim would be to kind of to change the culture so that everything is 100% open to everyone, and that something I think all men and women of a progressive viewpoint would hope to achieve at some point. But in the meantime, as I say, we have to start with where we are. And in the meantime, if the culture is determined that men shouldn't talk about emotions, well, okay, maybe we need to find other ways to introduce them to flower remedies, because they're going to end up dealing with their emotions.
Yeah.
And believe me, even the most tight-lipped man knows he has emotions. He may not ever want to admit it, but you know, inside we know. So I think, you know, if you're given the tools, you can start to do the job.
Yeah, it's so interesting what we're talking about. So I think, shall we spend a little bit of time now maybe talking about some of the batch essences and how they can help men? So, I mean, I guess probably one of the most relevant areas to everybody is the very challenging financial climate we find ourselves in, and that's worldwide, isn't it?
It is, yeah, indeed. Yeah, and I think, and again, you know, we have to start right away and say that, you know, that men and women face these problems together and in the same ways and respond in the same ways. The reason I think it's worth looking at men in particular, you know, as a separate case, is because, again, for cultural reasons, in many countries, including the UK, but also around the world, the man sees himself as having the role of provider, and that means that there is a sense of responsibility and a sense of failure and shame if the man is not able to carry that role out. And I think that's where obviously the remedies can come in, because, as you say, in a time of great financial constraint around the world, there are people who are in all kinds of difficult situations and are having to deal with emotions as a result of that. So if you're looking at specific remedies, I mean, the first thing that any kind of financial problem spells for a lot of people is a whole load of anxiety, because often it's the fear of something that becomes a bigger issue almost than the thing itself. And so even those people who are currently in a job and might be, you know, worried about if they will have a job next month, next week, whatever. So you'd be looking at fear remedies, obviously. You'd be looking at things like Mimulus for the, you know, the kind of the specific anxiety. You might be looking at things too like red chestnut, because sometimes the fear that you feel is not a fear for yourself, it's a fear for the impact of losing your job on your children, on your family, and on the people close to you. So I mean, that those two remedies are obviously of interest. And then you got remedies like walnut, which is to deal with change, and I think walnut's interested in this context, because sometimes we think of walnut as being for when a change has happened, but of course a change in environment, you know, like if people around you are all made redundant, for example, but you're not, your situation has changed because of the changes in the lives of the people around you, and also because of the change in your expectations about where you are in your career. All those things can be experienced as changes. So walnut can be very helpful there.
Mm. Yeah, great essences, great essences. So I know in your book, because I have a copy of your book, you talk an awful, you go through almost like the emotional life cycle of a man, and we don't have enough time to go through the whole of that today.
No, it's about 70 years.
Yes. Yeah, it would take a while. Maybe linking in with what you've just spoken about with the financial climate and the constraints on men, Is there a, I don't know if you've ever done any research on, looked at essences that are bought for men. I mean, I doubt whether anything is really clear here as to what age group these men are.
I think, well, I mean, essences that are bought for men, I think that's a really interesting question. And we've not done hard research, but I've certainly got a kind of a feel for it over the years, having talked to quite a few women about men in terms of, because often when we're sort of suggesting remedies to people or making up treatment bottles or whatever, we're often doing that for women, but we're often making up those bottles for a man in that woman's life.
Yes.
So certainly what comes through is the sort of female perspective on what men are feeling, because obviously when you're trying to select remedies third hand without talking to the person who's actually going to be taking them, there's always in your mind the fact that you're receiving all these impressions from someone who might herself have her own emotional issues and might have, you know, might not really understand what it feels like to be that person that you're trying to help. So you're always trying to kind of bear that in mind. And I think the female perception, it's a huge generalization now, Sarah, but I think the female perception of men who are in trouble is that they often respond in ways that we might talk about in terms of remedies like chicory, remedies like beech, like Impatiens, vine, all quite strong remedies in their own way, remedies for, you know, that are associated really with controlling behaviors.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting, because it says to me that, because I know myself, you know, when you're in a negative emotional mood, you're not always in one of those moods. I mean, I'll confess, okay, I'm an Impatiens type, so that tends to be my kind of response. But every kind of emotion can be a response. But it's interesting, I think, that in every bottle, or almost every bottle, but in a very large number of bottles that you are mixing up third hand for men, women are telling you, okay, he's very critical and he's very impatient, and he doesn't want to talk about it, and he just clams up, and he just wants to be in control of the situation all the time. But often, as a male myself, I can kind of sense that a lot of those apparent external behaviors are not really expressions of the emotion. When a man sort of tries to stay in control of a situation, it's often coming from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Because you feel as a man that you should be in control.
Yeah.
And if you feel you're not in control, then you kind of almost overcompensate by acting as if you're really, really in control, because that's a way of dealing with what fundamentally is a fearful reaction. And I think that that applies to a lot of those remedies. And if we look at the batch system as a whole, I think there are some, I mean, when we're teaching the remedies, it's very easy to fall into a kind of a trap where you talk about particular remedies as females and others as males. And there's a kind of, and people have pictures in their heads when you're describing them. So if I describe an elm remedy, you know, for someone who takes on a lot of responsibility and people rely on them and sometimes they feel that they can't cope with all responsibilities, my impression is that the majority of people hearing that description, in their head, they see a man. Mm-hmm. I talk about a sensory person who is someone who wants to help others and is very open and giving and can sometimes end up being taken advantage of because they like to be of service and like to be of use. Again, the majority of people, just hearing that description, if they're thinking of a person, they're thinking of a woman. And I think that's really interesting that, you know, we tend to do that. We tend to kind of think these remedies, the archetypes of these remedies are female, the archetypes of these remedies are male. And I actually think that's completely, completely and utterly wrong. And actually quite a dangerous thing in a sense, because it kind of can then lead us to go down completely the wrong path. As I say, a lot of these men who are perhaps behaving in ways that we would associate with quite strong controlling memories are actually maybe coming from completely different places, maybe from the place of emotions that we associated with those, in quotes, feminine remedies, and not at all from where they seem to be coming from.
So it really leads us back to what we were saying before, is to allowing, in whatever way it works, to kind of bridging, connecting men with the language of the essences, and creating, yes, a way for them to access them in a way that makes sense to them.
Yeah, I think that is the key way forward, I think, and the more people write books, do websites, the more men get involved as practitioners, because they are slowly coming through. I think then these things will develop over time.
Well, I hope this interview is going to inspire any males listening to actually find ways of making this work, or even female practitioners.
Yes.
Addressing.
I think if every woman listening to this plays it to a man, I think that would be a good step forward.
Wow. Yes. Well, there's something we can ask listeners to do. Yes. That's excellent. Well, thank you so much, Stefan. I've really, really enjoyed speaking. I can sense your passion in this subject, and I share that passion from a female perspective. So I think together we've maybe created a nice balanced discussion around it. Would you like to share with everybody how they can find out more about the Batch Essences and also find out about your book?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the place I always send people for information on Dr. Batch's work is batchcentre.com, so batchcentre.com. And you'll find on there, you have to click through to the shop. It's very commercial of me. You have to click through to the shop to find the book, but you'll also find the book, Batch Families for Men. You'll find it on Amazon and other places. So, yeah, by all means, have a look and have a read.
Yeah, it's a very, very useful book. It's a great book. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you once more. And
thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.